welcome. We're glad you're here on this July 4th weekend. And we're celebrating our nation's birthday, and we thank God for the blessing that he's given to each of us. I'm glad that you're here today. I do want to ask that you would pray for Laurel and Karen. Their dad passed away this week, and George was a member of our church years ago. And so we want to pray for him, or for the family rather, and I know he's with the Lord, and we thank God for his testimony. And so I'd ask if you'd remember to pray for the family. I also today feel just a little bit nervous. I feel like Stephen going to get stoned. And anyway, perhaps maybe I'll be ready to go. I don't know about the freezing cold. I have suggested that after I do mine, they would put ice in the water to make folks feel right at home, you know. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord. I hope you had a good day yesterday, and see that you were committed to be here today. So thank God for that. You know, we live in a very unusual time period in America. It is an unusual time to live. There's just so many unusual things that seem to be happening all the time. But as we wrap up this series on knowing God, I want to focus on the fact that God is personal. You ever thought about the fact that God is personal? You know, they tell us that we live in what is called the Milky Way galaxy. That's what the scientists call it. And this Milky Way galaxy is expansive. I mean, it's really large. It's almost so large we can't measure it. Light travels at 186,000 feet a second. And now you think about that, 186,000 feet a second. If you multiply that by 1 minute and multiply that by 24 hours and you multiply that by 1 year, we call that a light year. That is light traveling at 186,000 feet per second. Multiply it by 60, then by 24, then by, you know, 52 weeks or 12 months, and then you have a light year, as it would be called. That is a lot. Now think about this. Our Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. Now that's huge. And the Milky Way galaxy is only one of billions of galaxies. You know, sometimes we look up in the sky and we see it seems as though there's spaces in the sky. It seems as though there's that emptiness. But the truth of the matter is, it is filled with the glory and splendor of God Almighty. It's no wonder that David exclaimed these words, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" I mean, if you think about it, God making all of these things, and he is the creator, it didn't just happen by happenstance or by accident. It happened by divine creation. That God made all of these wonderful things that we see, I want you to consider carefully the fact that as big as that is, God is still a very personal God in our lives. The sheer magnitude of all of this would lead us to believe that somehow God is so far away that we can never get in contact with him, that he lives so far away from us. I mean, the sun is 93 million miles away. And then we have all of these other planets that surround this solar system that we live in, and we live in this huge place. God is so far away, but nothing could be further from the truth, because we have to understand that God is a personal God. He's personal to you, and he's personal to me. This means that God is personally interested in your life. On one occasion, Jesus speaks of the fact that God's thoughts are upon us. And I was thinking about that. You know, if God, who am I that God would consider me, that God would be interested in me? Have you ever thought about this, that that God is so interested in your life that he's interested in every aspect. The school that you attend. He's interested in your marriage, who you marry, and how your marriage is going. He's interested in, if you would, your career and what career path that you have chosen to take. He's even interested in the car that you drive. He's interested in the house you live in, the thoughts that you have, and your future. God says in Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, that could be scary for some of us. I mean, that could be frightening if we think about the fact that God is seeing everything we're doing. But if we're living as God would have us to live, the good thing about that is that that's a good thing. But if there's something in our life that God is seeing that would be dishonoring to him, God wants us to respond. God wants us to make that right. God wants us to make sure that we realize that while he is holy, he's personally interested in your life and how you live your life and how I live my life. I was thinking about teenagers this week and praying for them. And you know, it's tough to be a teenager in the 21st century. I think it's always been hard to be a teenager. But it's really tough to be a teenager. When I was a teenager, I remember that God, I got saved, I trusted Christ at 14 years of age. And within 2 years of that journey in my walk with God, as I began to grow and learn and read my Bible, trying to understand what happened to me, God began to work in my life, began to call me into the ministry. I didn't know what that was. I had no idea what God was doing. But God began to woo me and put desires in my heart that I never had before. And God began to work in an unusual way. And I began to have no peace about anything else but serving God full time in the ministry. God had called me to preach. Think about young people, teenagers today. You know, if we want to find God's will, God's ultimate will, God's concern, we need to recognize that God is personal and that God begins to work in our life and begins to show us. And I think that work of that call of God is a daily work of God. This is not something that just like I go to bed at night next morning, I know God's will. This is where God slowly and surely and methodically begins to work in my life and in your life and leads you down the pathway of where he wants you to go. Sometimes he shows you what you really don't like, and sometimes he shows you what you really do like, and sometimes he convicts you when you're thinking about this, and sometimes he brings you to that place where this is the only thing that really brings joy in your life, and all these other things that you suppose would bring joy do not bring joy anymore. And that's God being personal in your life. That's God working in your life. Sometimes single adults are looking for, well, who does God want me to marry? And what does God want me to do with my life? And what career path am I supposed to take? And where am I supposed to go? But as we begin to allow God to work in our life, God will show us those things. Sometimes young couples struggle with the fact that how many kids should I have? And how should I rear these children? And what should I do with this job that I have? Is this my permanent station in life? And what about these other things that are going on all around me? How am I to have wisdom about dealing with all of those aspects of my life? How do I deal with those things? Yet, as we understand that God is a personal God, he's vitally interested in those things in our life, that he is concerned about those more than even we are, that God is going to show us how to deal with those things. Maybe you're here today because you're broken. You've been disappointed. Perhaps maybe you made some bad choices along the way. Or perhaps maybe you've messed up in your life and you're just trying to figure out what is it that God wants me to do and how am I supposed to respond to these things? And as God begins to work in our lives personally, every day, as we seek his will, as we go to him, God's going to begin to show us how these things work in our life. Right now, I believe that America is broken. This country that we live in, this great country, while I know that we historically have always been the greatest country in all the world, I still believe that, but I do believe the light is dimming very quickly in America. And God's people can make a difference in that. We can be a light in a dark world. And the truth of the matter is that God works in the hearts of the people who make up the nation, not the nation itself. And we have to understand that if the problem in America is going, if we have a problem and our American culture is going down, and the shine is beginning to wear off, now's the time for God's people to say, God, I want to make a difference in my life. I want you to work in my life in a powerful way. I want you to make a difference. I'm greatly concerned for the heart of this country. Just this past week in Oklahoma, maybe some of you might have read the story, they removed the Ten Commandments from the courthouse steps. By the way, the Ten Commandments is the core of our society. It's the groundwork of our society. I mean, it's that which we base everything on. I mean, many of our laws are built around the Ten Commandments. By the way, just to let you know, I think we've thrown that out already publicly anyway. But just to know that you know, in Alabama, a judge said, we will not do that, and then he was put in court, and then he was forced to remove that, and now we're going to Oklahoma. By the way, it's already been thrown out in most places anyway. But just to let you know, God's still on the throne. I mean, what happens doesn't change the fact of who God is. Really, who won the battle? Who won the battle when you take the Ten Commandments out? Or you try to alter the culture counter to God's word? What really does change? Who really wins? And what is going to matter in all of that? I'll tell you what, God takes us always back to his word. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, we're introduced to the fact that God is a personal God. He's a personal God because he recognizes, as you and I, as we see that God being personal, we realize the fact that his working in my life and in your life is that which matters most to him. Look at verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says. It said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning before we move on to the rest of the passage. What God is the God of America? I want to know. You may not answer. You may not be able to answer that. And here's my next question. What God is your God? If it is not Jesus Christ, then who is it? If he is not your Lord, then who is? The Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the land. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him. because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let me call your attention to verse number 13. The Bible said that God looketh down from heaven upon the sons of men. Now, to understand that, I looked up everywhere I could in the scriptures on the sons of men, and all I could pick up from that understanding is this does not refer to a particular group of people or just to male genders. This refers to all of mankind. That God is concerned for all of us in our world. He's concerned for you. And he's concerned for me. He's concerned for those in other parts of the world. God recognizes that we who live here, that he is vitally concerned with your life. And I think sometimes we get the idea that, well, God's probably, he probably doesn't have time for me. Or I've even heard people say, you know, I don't know if I want to bother God when I talk to God because, you know, God's so busy dealing with all the wicked people. Let me remind you that God is concerned about your life and where you are and how you think and how you live and what your motives are and what direction you're going and what you're doing with your life. God is concerned about that. God's concerned about the decisions that you make and the values you have in your life. The Bible said that God looketh down from heaven. I started thinking about that. He looks down from heaven and he sees all those things. In fact, God is not just looking down from heaven, but God is very personally with us. The Bible says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. God says his eyes run to and fro throughout the earth. That when I begin to think about that God's telling me that he's very active in my life. Now let me show you how this works. He is so active in our life that he's involved by the presence of the daily Holy Spirit in my life. For example, Paul says this, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, if God, the Holy Spirit, is personal, that means that he has indwelt our lives. That those of us who are believers recognize the fact that the Holy Spirit, the moment we trust Christ, indwells us. He comes into our life. He comes there, and since he's there, he's working in my life every day, all the time. He is personally involved in my life. And in fact, Romans says it like this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you feel guilty, that's not because your wife said something or your husband said something or your spouse said, your children said something. Most of the time, that's the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. He goes on in that same passage, and he says, for ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In fact, let me give you a little word of encouragement. If you do know Christ as your Savior, you are going to have the Holy Spirit working in your life. You're going to feel guilty when you sin. You're going to have conviction when you sin. You're going to struggle with things that, you know, in making choices. Should I do this? Should I not do that? I mean, that's just a part of it. We have within us the presence of God who personally is involved in my life, who cares about those things. And when decisions come up, do I come to church now or do I not come to church? Do I read my Bible or do I not read my Bible? Do I tell this person about Christ, or do I keep my mouth shut? Do I serve in the church, or do I sit in the pew? What do I do in the church, and what is it that God would have me to do? And how am I to respond when this event occurs in my life? And how about this when I lose my job? How do I take care of that? God, the Holy Spirit, is there to lead me every step of the way. And let me remind you of this, that God will never lead any of us to do anything contrary to God's holy word. He's not going to tell me that it's okay to do things the Bible says it's not okay to do. And the way I will know that is because I will have the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And it's not the fact that the preacher says it, or that the deacon says it, or somebody says it to me, or I hear somebody, or I read it. It's in some book. It's when the Word of God speaks to my heart, the Holy Spirit will enlighten my understanding and show me when I have not made those things right in my life, and I need to. That's the work of God. Strange thing, though, is there are those who trust in things other than God's word. Some would trust in the government. Some would trust in their possessions. Some will trust in the things that they consider very special to them. Here the Bible records how that the king, he is not self-sustaining. He cannot protect himself. A horse is a vain thing. There's a possession. Can an animal protect us more than God? And the answer is no. So when we think about the scriptures, God reminds you and me that I'm to recognize the fact that the presence of God in my life is very personal. Very personal. The reason why many do not recognize God being personal in their life is because they're not sensitive to it. We're not in tune with it. We don't think about it that way. We get up in the morning. I mean, Sunday rolls around. Oh, it's church day, so we go to church. Monday rolls around. We put God aside, and we live the rest of the week as if there is no God. Then we come back to, oh, that's right, Sunday. We put God on for Sunday. That's why that many times we live our lives in such dismal conditions, because we don't recognize the fact that God is a personal God that's with me every second of every minute of every day of my life. My wife, when we were 9 years before we had Nathan, and something occurred when we brought Nathan home that I never knew. And all mothers can relate to this. And you who are married to mothers understand this. But she was very in tune with her baby. I mean, we're talking really in tune with it. All mothers understand this. I mean, it's a strange thing. Janet is a heavy sleeper. I'm a light sleeper. I mean, any noise wakes me up. You could drive a train through our bedroom and Janet would sleep. She's fine. She's okay with that. Until the baby came, things changed at that point. I mean, it's so strange. There could be dogs barking outside. TV could be going on. There could be people talking inside the house. And the baby's bedroom door could be somewhat closed and asleep. And if that baby rolled over and was awake, she would know it. She could hear it. Because what happened was she really got in tune with that baby. By the way, she's still in tune with it. Even if they get older and get bigger, she's still in tune with that need. Now, here's the bottom line. When we're in tune with God, we understand how personal God really is. And the problem is, many of us aren't in tune with that. We're more in tune with what the world would think about this, or what somebody else would think about it, or how somebody might view it, or something else like that. We're not being led by the Spirit. We're being led by the world. And what God is saying is we need to be in tune. We need to be in tune with His Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is in our life, so that we can realize that God is not just billions of miles away or whatever that would be, but that God is as close to us as a prayer. How did that start? When did that start? Well, it started the moment that we realized that God's concern for my eternity. God's concern for it. At 14 years old for me, and some of you others, maybe younger still, and maybe even older for some, but at that point I realized that God is personally concerned about my eternity and where I'm going to spend my eternity. That was the beginning place. I realized that there, at that point, that God was concerned so much for me that He began to tell me about what was waiting for me in eternity. And He taught me through the Word of God that the fact is that sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden 2,000 years ago, or rather longer than that, actually. But when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, there came a judgment on all of mankind. And then I learned 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and took care of that judgment. He came to this earth down on the cross. He was buried, rose again the third day, so that you and I do not have to pay the price, because He's so concerned about our eternity that we'd be willing to send His only Son to die for us. Now that's a personal God. And in verse 21, the Bible says that in this same passage we just read, trust in His holy name. Did you see that? In other words, we trust in His holy name because the only name that we can trust in heaven is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, there's no other name. You can't say, well, Buddha or Muhammad or whoever it is, it doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does matter. The Bible says it does. There is no other name but Jesus' name. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that great salvation verse that we were all that we all have used ourselves personally, or we've read, we use that maybe as a proof text of the fact that we know Christ. It says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The moment that we trust Christ as Savior, the moment that we put our faith in Him, that means now we become aware of who He is personally in my life. He becomes my comforter. He becomes my counselor. He becomes my father. He becomes my lead and my guide. He becomes my all. In Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 11, God says this to the nation of Israel. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. I thought about that. I thought, you know, how strange that is, that God could work in our life in such a way that He would become personal to us, personally involved in our careers, personally involved in our families, personally involved in our children and their upbringing, personally involved in who I work and where I work and how I conduct myself on a daily basis, and yet I won't hear. And all I can say is, dear God, if I become insensitive, help me to get back to the place where I am sensitive to the voice of God and the Spirit of God working my life every day. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know, I don't know about God working in my life. You see, God can't work in our life until we first know Him. You see, there's some steps that He would have us to take. The first step is this, that God would have us to open our hearts to receive Jesus as our personal Savior. If you've never done that today, I'm not saying if you've been baptized, I'm not saying if you've taken your first communion or you've done any of those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we call upon the name of Jesus as our personal Savior. That means we rely on Him and Him alone. But then the second step we would take, if we are believers and we have done that, there's another step that God would have us take. That step, of course, is to tune in to God daily in our life. Tune in. Start this week. Decide this week that you'd say, you know, if that's the case, and I have the Holy Spirit in my life now that I'm a believer, that as a believer then, I want to be in tune with His working in my life every day. I want to seek His wisdom about how I handle and conduct myself, and how do I deal with those things that come along in my life, and what about those attacks that come outside, and what about those family issues and child rearing and getting those projects done at work, and about the person that I might marry one day if you're single, or maybe about the fact that you're having to deal with other aspects of your life, and you say, man, how am I going to do all that? That as we become in tune with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's a little of teaching this and showing us that and saying no to this and leading us to this way and giving us guidance about this and giving us a heart for something else. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit, shows us how personal God really is. God is not someone we go to at church. This is where God's people gather on Sunday, but this is not where God works, not just here only, but He works every day in our life. He's a personal God. When we begin to recognize that and get in tune with that, boy, what a life change that is. We'll have the confidence to face the day knowing that God is going to lead us. I like what Romans 8:31 says. What shall we say to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us? Teens will know what God wants for their life. Young couples will know how to deal with things, the choices they make, and other matters that affect their life. Young singles will know where to go and which direction to take. Those who are seniors will understand what God would have them to do as they make those decisions about career and ending careers and facing retirement. You know why? Because God is personal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we know that You're a personal God. You have proven that to us all through the Scriptures.